Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Chauncey Show. We're always right. We're never left. We put God first and politics second. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We have an exciting show for you lined up tonight. I have a dear friend of mine who is passionate about freedom, pro-life, pro-gun, pro-children, pro-education, pro-Pennsylvania. This young man, John, is a hard-working conservative father who believes in America first. American businesses and growth are the key, he states. He says, let us get back on track. John's motto, we the people over party. John works with children who has many challenges. And as a result of John's compassion for children, his emotions have overflowed into his will to help people less fortunate than himself. John is tired of watching people being taken advantage of by politicians. And this is why John decided to run for U.S. Congress to give the silent majority a voice. Let me welcome to the show my dear friend, U.S. Congressional candidate from Pennsylvania's 5th District, John V. Hayes. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chauncey. Great to be here. It's an honor.
It's an honor to have you on, John. You have some very humble beginnings. I'll let you talk a little bit about who you are, to my audience. And then I briefly stated what brought you into politics, and then we can get into politics later.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in my father passed away when I was 3 years old. My mom raised me and my sister by herself with the help of my grandparents. So I have my grandfather was a giant influence in my life. He was the firstborn in my family here from Ireland. My great grandparents were right off the boat from Ireland. So I have a lot of old styles in me. I'm an old soul, but, and to me, respect has always been earned. And I've always, treated people with respect. And that's how I earned people's respect. So that was always part of how I grew up. I've done many, many jobs over my life as well. I mean, I grew up in Catholic school, went through Catholic grade school, Catholic high school. And to prove that I was really, really, really dedicated to my Catholicism, I went to two Catholic colleges, not just one, two. My Catholic beliefs were a big part of who I am as well. Now, do I agree with everything the Catholic Church does right now? Absolutely not. There's a lot of conflict in me right now between the Catholic Church. So,
yeah, and we'll get into that a little later because you've been conducting rallies and you're having another rally coming up soon as a result of mass mandates and also vaccine mandates. I think if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. looking at your resume, I think you studied political science in college.
No, criminal justice.
Criminal justice. Okay, I apologize. I stand corrected.
No, that's all right. No, and actually, when I first went back to when I was first in college, right out of high school, I went to Gwinnett Mercy in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, and due to two deaths in my family, at that time I was a math secondary ed major, wanted to be a math teacher. My math teacher, Mr. Adams, in high school, was a big influence on my life. He was my, not only was he my math teacher for 2 years in a row, my freshman and sophomore year, he was also my cross-country coach. And when people see the picture of me, yeah, you're going to say, yeah, this guy ran cross-country? Yeah. And he was also my chess coach. Yes, I did play chess. I do like playing chess. It's a very soothing sport and, you know, very mental break sport as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people consider it a sport. I do. But, you know, he was a very, very, very influential in my life. Because he was not the typical – he was not a typical kind of teacher to me. He had his little quirks, but he was very humble. He was a very humble man. And, you know, he taught for years at O'Hara, and he never really cared for recognition. But he had so much respect from a lot of students, and, you know, but he was my biggest influence at the time. So when I went to college, I went as a secondary ed teacher, but then I failed out, and then went into the working field and went back at the Delaware County Community College as a psych major for one semester. Took one criminal justice class with the dean of the program. She was tough. She was really tough, and I just fell in love with the program, and I changed my major right away. I wanted to be in the criminal justice field. So I finished I got my associate's degree through Delaware County Community College, and then finished off my bachelor's at Chestnut Hill College.
You know, John, if I may interject,
yeah. Sure.
I've had the opportunity over the past several weeks to get to know you fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
And you are an extremely humble man. And I'm bringing that up because your work that you currently do is immensely gratifying, not only to the parents, but to the children that you serve. And I know you care about those children deeply. I know you care about children with special needs. And as we talked about, when I went to college, I was going to school and beginning physical education, adaptive physical education, working with handicapped autistic kids.
Right.
I would like you to talk a little bit about your job, because as I've gotten to know you, you know, people, mm-hmm. you can pretty much tell who a person is by what kind of work they do. And,
sure.
you know, you don't talk about your work much, but when you do, you're extremely passionate about it. And I'd like for you to talk about your work. I'm very proud of what you do, I'm sure as many of the parents, the children, and the community. Talk a little bit about where you work, the work you do, and the type of impact you've had on children.
Well, I work with individuals with intellectual disabilities. I've been doing it for 19 years, and it's been very humbling, to say the least. All my jobs over the years, it is the greatest job I've ever had. Many people, right before I started there, I was working for the electric company, and people said, oh, you're not going to last there. You're not going to last there. Oh, you're not going to last a month. You're not going to last a month. Well, 2 days in after my training, my second day in, I'm on the floor in the school. Kid kicks the crap out of me. And I mean, it was a complete meltdown in the classroom I was in, and I'm having chairs thrown at me, kicked in the knee. I dropped like a sack of potatoes.
Hey, John, if I may interject for a second,
yeah.
You know, I always talk
sure.
about how humble you are. You're a gentle teddy bear. John is a man who's about 5'11 and 319 pounds. So my audience
yep.
can get a view of the massivity of this man.
Yes, I do have some mass to me at the back when I started, I did not have that kind of mass. I started back when I was 23. So
oh,
I was
okay.
Not that big back then.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
I was big, but not that big.
Right.
So, the head teacher.
You got your tail kicked.
So I got my tail kicked, and the head teacher came to me, and she's like, had me fill out the injury report and the incident report. And she says, "Hey, John, please just don't quit." The next day I show up, she greets me at the door. Yeah, after we, transition all the kids at school, she greets me. She's like, "Oh my God, you're back." And she puts me in another classroom, a different classroom, and that turns out to be my permanent classroom for as long as I worked in the school. And, with another teacher, and, I helped out with that teacher, and the kids just grew on me, and it was just, I don't know when it turned out to be, like, it just became my career, and I don't know when I don't know when the career button clicked in my head, but like all those kids just grew on me. Like things that you see and you're like, oh my God, people run. I mean, the job is honestly not for everybody. I mean, I'm the first to admit that.
Mm-hmm. It's a difficult job.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. And people say to me, like, oh, my God, I couldn't do what you do. I'm like, you're right. I mean, you've got kids, like, very low functioning, don't know how to do anything. We got kids that very high functioning, know exactly what they're doing, that will try to hurt you.
Or manipulate you.
But,
and
you got to remember, these kids, they don't want to be there. They don't want to be there. I mean, they're stuck sometimes. They just want to know someone cares. And you show them that you care. Every kid that there knows who I am. They know that they can come talk to me. They know that someone there cares. They know that their staff care. Not all.
Sure.
Sometimes they don't think they care. Sometimes they get mad at the staff. So they get mad at the staff. Say, you don't care about me. But in the long run, then they calm down and say, I know you care. I'm sorry. But sometimes crises just happen, and you just got to deal with
it. Amen. Amen. For those that are tuning in, you're listening to the Chauncey Show. We're always right, never left. I'm honored and blessed to have in the studio John V. Hayes, U.S. congressional candidate for Pennsylvania's 5th District, talking about Pennsylvania, talking about the children that he works with. Now we're going to talk about some politics. Understanding your passion for children, your father.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding.
Wait a minute. The trolls on Facebook say I'm not a father.
Well, as you know, being a conservative, we unfortunately have to wear a lot of labels that they want to try to put on us to try to identify who we really are. But if they spent more time.
They can label me anything they want.
Amen.
They can label me anything. I can wear as many labels as they want. That's fine.
John, talk about what made you get involved. And I mean, we've talked offline. Talk about what made you get involved in politics.
You know, that's an even funnier story. Well, and please, I hope Jack Dorsey is listening too, because this is going to go right up his alley.
Okay.
You know, I only joined Twitter back in October to follow Donald Trump before the election. I've never been a social media guy. I followed politics. I've always been not really following. I mean, I followed politics, but never. I'm a recovering rhino. Okay. Growing up, I was your real life Alex P. Keaton. If anyone in that's listening remembers Family Ties, okay. If not, look it up. followed the Republican line, you know, like most the Republicans, you know, we followed the GOP. We followed them down a rabbit hole until 5 years ago, when President Donald J. Trump took office, woke us up to the fact that, hey, there's something wrong in D.C., and it's called D.C.
Right.
They've been lying to us forever. They're not representing us. They're not speaking to us. They're not listening to us. Everything we're trying to do, you call their offices, it's falling on deaf ears. So, you know, for 4 years under President Trump, you know, the country started to thrive again. Then COVID hit. Election gets, okay, the election happens. I'm not going to say stolen. I'm just going to say election happened. So, and under several different Twitter accounts, I get kicked off several times. And during one of my Twitter accounts, someone says to me, you know, under one of my aliases, someone says to me, you know, you should really run for office. I'm like, okay. Sparks in my head. Okay. So someone said, I'm actually making sense. Okay, sure. So I put a Twitter account together for my candidacy back in February. Since then, just on Twitter alone, since February, I've grown 7,500 followers since February.
Mm-hmm.
And now starting the Facebook phase now, and the rest of the phases now as well. And we'll see where it goes.
Awesome. We have about 15 or 20 more minutes left. Let's talk about some of the issues that are mm-hmm. impacting Pennsylvania that you're standing up for and fighting for in your mm-hmm. state that you participated on. You've had a rally, and you're leading another rally coming up in another week or so. Talk about some of those things in Pennsylvania.
Right. Well, the first rally that happened this past Monday was a rally against the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, because they decided almost 2 weeks ago now, two weeks before school started, that, okay, mask mandates, when they kept saying they weren't going to mask mandate for the kids. Well, 2 weeks before school starts, yeah, we're going to mask mandate. And they sent it on a Friday before schools, Monday at 5 o'clock. So parents became enraged. Now, my daughter also goes to a Catholic school, grade school. So I become enraged. So we quickly put together a rally. You know, we within a week's time together. And I think it was a great turnout. All the parents that showed up, organizations that showed up, Moms for Liberty, thank you. I mean, everyone that showed up, they did fantastic. It was amazing. It was an amazing day. God shined down on us that day because they were calling for rain all day, flash flood warnings all day, and we got nothing but sunshine. It was great. And so now, literally the next day, our Governor Wolf decides, okay, well, I'm going to flex my powers that I don't have anymore, because back in May we voted to a constitutional amendment to take them away in Pennsylvania. His emergency powers is limited to 3 weeks. Well, he decides that he's going to try to find a loophole to mask mandate the entire state, since in Pennsylvania only 59 school districts, that's the public schools, out of 474 decided to mandate masks. The rest were optional. Now, that doesn't count the archdiocese that were following the Vatican and their pope, or pope, or fake pope, I should say. But the public schools were following, you know, They weren't following the orders, so they backed off. So and Governor Wolf got a little panicked. So what he did was asked for the Republican controlled House to come back and ask for a mandate, and they told him no. There's no surge, which there isn't. There's no reason to do it, so no. They left it up to this individual school board districts or school boards to listen to the parents, which they don't do either. So, so he overreaches. So as of right now, there's an overreach. So basically everyone is panicked once again. What do? That's it. I'm putting the rally together again. We're going right up to Harrisburg on the 13th at 11 a.m. to let these legislators know we're not going to put up with this anymore. We're not going to put up with Wolf, and we're not going to put up with them just coming out with talking points. It's action time. And so far, there's only a handful of legislators and senators up there that we're seeing action from. And I got to give credit to Senator Doug Mastriano here in Pennsylvania. This guy has been a workhorse. And you know what? You know how they treated him in the Pennsylvania Senate? They stripped him of his chairs of the committees. You know, same old politics, the GOP. You know, shame on them. Because Doug actually listens and fights for the people. And he's not stopping either. So, Doug, if you're out there listening to this, I hope you are, or you listen to this down the road, we the people got your back, brother.
What are some of the other issues that are facing Pennsylvania? Jobs, crime. We only have a few more minutes, and I'm going to have you back on the show again. Okay. I know your election's from 2022. Yeah. Just give a brief overview of some of the things you've identified, and if you'd like, in the past couple of minutes, we could talk about maybe Afghanistan for 2 or 3 minutes, or the border crisis.
Definitely.
You know, on some just a few minutes. But I'll have you back on again. We can focus on, if you want, international or national issues. But I know that right now, Pennsylvania is the hot topic, with the governor just imposing the mask mandates on schools, as well as I know the state and some schools are trying to impose the vaccination mandate. So I know that's a hot topic right now, and I'm glad that we spent some time talking about that.
Right. Well, I can go over some brief topics real quick. Pennsylvania, well, in Philadelphia, you know, high crime rate, high drug rate. And, of course, we've got a DA, Larry Krasner, who has somehow become reelected because, and I still don't know how, who's letting criminals just walk the streets. You know, there's more shootings every day. We've got the crime rate in Philadelphia is just out of control. And a governor or a mayor, Jim Kenney, sits back and does nothing. Larry Krasner does absolutely nothing. They should be ashamed of themselves, and they should be in prison. You know, it's a catastrophe. What was the other topic?
It's okay. No, just talking about some of the concerns in Pennsylvania. We know that Philly or North Philly is a part of your 5th district, so we know that. North Philly.
North Philly is actually not part of my district, but I've reached out to help other. I'm not just trying to help. Besides my district, people have reached out to me from other districts because they're not being listened to. There's people from North Philadelphia. There's people from Northern Montgomery County that have reached out to me. People from all over Montgomery County that are out of my district that have reached out for help. I'm more than willing to help them out. Other school districts, wherever, I have no problem trying to help them out because I'm willing to fight because these fights will not end. And I understand people are afraid to stand up, but the silent majority are waking up. And they are reaching out to me. So hopefully we can get more and more people to start realizing what that, everything that they're hearing on the news right now is bogus. It's all bogus.
What do you mean by bogus? Can you elaborate?
Yeah. Okay. The number of let's go back to COVID. The number of COVID cases. Anybody who dies within 2 weeks of the COVID vaccine is being listed as unvaccinated. But if they got the COVID vaccine within 2 weeks of their death, now how is that possible? The number of COVID deaths in the hospitals, people dying of double pneumonia. And they're listening, of course, they have to add COVID. People dying of a heart attack. We need audits of hospitals. We need audits of every record. We need audits of the CDC. We need more checks and balances on everything right now because everyone is just flat out just lying.
Yeah, the data does not reflect the propaganda that is being promulgated all over the news 24/7 of fear trying to get vaccinated. Just recently, a Johns Hopkins report out of almost 35 million COVID cases, confirmed only approximately 610,000 people died. And that is less. That is like 1.8% fatality if you contract it. Now, out of 610,000, what people are not even realizing is that 80% of those are probably are nursing home deaths.
Right.
That's another thing that people aren't looking at. These aren't children. These aren't regular people. These are older people that are confined with underlying conditions, just like when we had the flu, when people were dying, 30 to 40,000 people a year were dying of the flu. But because the flu was the underlying, then they would get pneumonia or whatever and unfortunately pass away. But the fear that they're trying to, I believe, put into everybody that COVID is a deadly virus is absolutely absurd. And people act like as soon as you touch somebody, you contract COVID, you're going to be dead within 24 mm-hmm. hours. That's what they're making mm-hmm. this vaccine and virus appear like. And it's sad because it's anything but uh-huh. that. And I talked about on my show, I posted an article from 1989 from the American Medical Association Journal that
right.
coronavirus was a common cold in the American Medical right. Association Journal in 1989. It's a common cold.
Jesus.
So the flu, yeah. coronavirus replaced the flu, but what they're not talking about is that Big Pharma made $35 billion last year over the fear of American people.
Well, yeah, and let's talk about that Pfizer trying to – now they want to give pills that we have to take every 2 weeks after or every day, two pills every day.
Exactly. If this shot is so effective, what's the purpose of all these booster shots and these additional pills? People, please wake up. They're trying to put things in – exactly. And we don't know what are they putting in your body. And that's the key, people.
Yeah. And yet when I say something, oh, well, you know, when you're going up against the mask mandate, oh, maybe you're just going up against seatbelt mandates. Now you're just being ridiculous, you know, because the vaccine mandate needs to freaking end. Stop putting chemicals in our bodies.
You know, the ironic thing is,
they're not telling you what's in it.
Right. The ironic thing is how the Democrats and the left play identity politics. But you see how they shift when it's convenient for them. The left and progressive, the Me Too movement. What happened to the Me Too movement now?
Yeah.
What about my body, my choice? I mean, what happened?
That only works for abortions.
you know what I mean?
Well, then again, ask the Catholic Church how they feel about abortions right now. Because obviously they've changed their tune too. Because abortions are for the greater good now, apparently. They're apparently for the greater good. But God bless Texas and God bless the Supreme Court because they upheld the Texas law.
They didn't uphold the Texas law. They uphold the law of God that's in the Bible. Yeah, and that is what we're really missing here, John, is
that's
everybody,
you are 100%
take
right.
the oath of office, you swear on the Bible. We have removed the laws of God from our society. And that is why our society has become a beacon of immorality. And it's sad.
Yep.
It's sad. Every turn, God's being removed out of the schools, out of everywhere, religion.
Including Catholic schools.
Including
Catholic schools.
They're taking prayer out of Catholic schools now?
No, they keep the prayers, but they're taking God out of it.
Okay. Well, right. I understand.
No,
right,
I'm being facetious.
No, no, you're right. Because if you're supporting abortion, then you're leaving God. Right. I know. I understand. You're taking God out of the equation. And that is the interesting thing for me is especially where is the religious people? Where are Catholics like you, I know, are fighting up. Where are the Christians fighting up against this? Where is your faith in God not to trust in man?
Uh-huh.
It talks about the vaccine in Revelations. I mean, I don't know what these people that say they believe in God and are Christians, I don't know what they're reading. Because if you're reading the word, why are you going to participate in the New World Order? Mass vaccinations, mass mandates. This is a part of that New World Order of the Altarian government trying to be Big Daddy for all people. No, it's not the government's place to control people's lives.
Nope. Not at all. The government is supposed to be working for us. They're supposed to be helping the people, okay? No matter what people think, you know, we could be much better than that. you know, as a country, we could be much better than what we are. You know, I don't want to go so far as Revelations, because I don't want to, this isn't the end of days. I don't see this as end of days. You know, I pray to God every day. And as I told you, and I told so many others, you know, I bought this cross that I have around my neck, and I'm grasping it right now, brother. You know, I bought it right before I went up to the funeral of a fallen officer up in New York, mm-hmm. his funeral, you know, and every day I grasp it and I talk to God, praying that I'm fighting the right fights to guide me, to help me guide, you know, to help others. And I pray that, you know, that we're on the right path. And so far, he hasn't taken me off the wrong one. And, you know, temptation is always there. You know, I feel the temptation coming from the other side, too. I do feel it. But I never go I always grab that cross, and it's in my hand, and I pray, saying, Lord, please help me. You know, because he's going to show us the way. And I'm not trying to be preachy, because, you know, I'll be the first one to admit, you know, I've never been the greatest Catholic in the world, but my Catholic values in my heart, the way I've been taught, I will never, like, my faith in God has been renewed. You know, amen. I don't sit there and preach from the Bible, but I do pray to God every day. He has saved me more than once. He's kept me here for a reason, because if he really wanted to, he could have taken me so many damn times. Amen. He's had many times to take my life, but he hasn't. So,
John, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Please wrap up. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just saying, you know, we're all here at this very moment for a reason. We all need to come together now before it's too late.
Amen. John, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. I've heard, as I'm sure my listeners have, the passion and compassion of the type of man you are, especially as you summarized up just a moment ago. You are the people's candidate. You are for the people, you know, by the people. And you speak truth to power. We thank you for wanting to stand up for God our Father and for all of his children. Thank you.
Yep.
If people want to follow you, John, I know, I think it's John Hayes, PA5.
On Twitter.
Well, John PA, I believe, if I can help you here, John PA5 yeah. is not only on Twitter, but anyone who puts through Google's John PA5 will be able to find John across all social media platforms, whether it be
John Hayes.
John Hayes. I apologize, PA, for Congress. Also, John, if people would like to donate to your campaign, I believe they could donate to John V. Hayes for Congress at Payatron. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Also, please share with my listeners your phone number. I know that you're a hands-on guy, and I know that you like to field questions if anyone has directly. So please share your phone number, your email address,
sure.
And also your website for future updates that people can get a hold
sure.
of you on.
Absolutely. My number is 610-507-0110. And that is a direct cell phone number to me that anyone would like to reach me. My email address is john.hayes@hayes4uscongress.com. And my website is Hayes4USCongress.com.
Sean, again, thank you so much for fighting on the front lines for children. Yes, thank you for standing up for the children in Pennsylvania. Thank you for standing up for those who want to fight against the vaccine. And I'm looking forward to having you back on the show again, giving us an update on what you're doing, how your campaign is doing, and whatever issues that are affecting the nation or Pennsylvania that you want to come back on and talk about. You always have an ear and an audience to listen to you, John. Thank you so much again, and God bless you.
Thank you, Chauncey. It's been a pleasure.
For those that are tuning in, you're listening to The Chauncey Show, where we're always right. We're never left. We put God first and politics second. And as you can see today, we had an awesome candidate, John Hayes. Humble man, compassionate man, who wants to serve the people. And as we heard from John in this closing statement, he has a purpose that has been given to him by God. He acts upon God's will, and he is blessed by what this God has given him, and he is blessed to be able to serve the people of Pennsylvania. You know, today in 2021, 2022, 2024, and even as we looked at the Donald Trump elections, God has been playing an influential role on bringing all of his people together for his purpose. And we're seeing that in those who are of deep faith, like I am and many others, we are connecting and building up our army to do what is right for all of humanity. Next Tuesday, we have an exciting show coming up for you. We're going to have, I believe, the founder or co-founder of the National Tea Party Movement, Michael Johns, will be in the studio. We're going to talk about where the Tea Party is in the country today, what they're doing to prepare for the 2022 elections. And we're excited to have Michael Johns on next Tuesday. Next Thursday, we're going to have the U.S. Senate candidate for Carolina, Tim Swain, in the studio. So that's up for next week. We thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We want to thank all of our supporters for following us on Twitter, Gab, Parler, and across social media. We thank you for your comments, and we thank you for your donations. And also, if you are able to, we want to continue to be a voice for we the people. If you could make a small contribution or whatever you can help us out so we can continue to be a voice for you, PayPal me the Chauncey Show. That's PayPal me the Chauncey Show so we can continue to be a voice for the people. Also, if you have Patreon, you can visit us on Patreon as well. Become a member. We will start blogging more on Patreon. And if you'd like to make a contribution, we would appreciate it. Everyone, please have a safe weekend, and you can follow the Chauncey Show across all social media platforms and myself, NY Talk Radio host, New York Talk Radio hosts. Follow me if you want to come on the show, inbox me, contact us. We're always here, always ready to give the people the voice that they want to hear from real people that want to serve you. Thank you all for tuning in. God bless you all. Good night, and remember, keep the faith.